Moncrief on News Talk.
Jonathan DeBurca Butler joins us once again to bring us stories from all around the world. Afternoon,
Sean,
Jonathan.
How are you getting on?
The Ivory Coast we're going to go to first, where they've shut down a student or all students' unions.
Yeah, they've decided to put a blanket ban on all student unions, but it's off the back of the activities of one student union in particular, which has a membership of about 100,000 people, right? So this is called the Student and School Federation, known by its acronym, a French acronym of FESCI, okay? And FESCI has been around since the early 1990s, right? Started off as your run-of-the-mill student union, but then very quickly became quite political, was involved in lots of, shall we say, transitions to new presidencies and the like, and was therefore given a free hand to be infiltrated by ne'er-do-wells, shall we say, or as one person, a political person, in response to this particular story, said allowed a few black sheep to come into the organisation. It has got very dark over the last number of years, and particularly the last number of months, off the back of two murders that happened, one in August and one in September. An investigation has been launched into this particular student union, and 17 people have been arrested, including the general secretary of the student union, who is accused of being behind the kidnapping and killing of his main rival within this organisation, right? Now, that was what sparked the investigation, but as the authorities have gone deeper and deeper into it, they have found things such as tunnels where torture has taken place, okay, on the university campus in the main city, Abidjan there. And they also found a brothel. They raided various other campuses across the country, and they ended up finding 100 plus machetes and grenades, and they also found and expelled 5,000 undeclared residents at university campuses across the country.
My word.
These arrests only happened on October the 17th, and that's the progress that the authorities have made so far.
That's extraordinary. Now, this is just one students' union, but a blanket ban on all students' union.
Yeah.
Might that be construed as unfair?
Yeah, it would be, I suppose. But look, I suppose they're trying to get rid of the situation, and this is by far the largest organisation of students in the country.
Yeah.
But as you can see, it's not a student union at all. It's a criminal racket, basically.
That's jaw-dropping stuff,
so it's a mad story, yeah.
Yeah, right. France, we're going to go to next, or more specifically, Martinique. They're having a cost of living crisis there, along with everywhere else. So the French government have done something about it.
They have. Martinique, it would be the furthest point west in the European Union. There you are, Martinique, as it is an overseas department of France. So it is considered part of France, right? Population of about 360,000. And the reason I'm focusing on that is that population is because an awful lot of them are not very happy with the cost of living at the moment. Just to put it into context for you, I'll give you two prices. They pay about $7.80 for 250 grams of branded ground coffee compared to $3.50 in the rest of France. Now, you'd probably pay something similar here in Ireland for that. But if one that might be a bit closer to Irish hearts, butter can cost as much as €8.50, right? And on average, they pay about 40% more than the rest of France, right? So this was making the population unhappy. Prices were going up and up and up, and there were protests which were started on the 1st of September. At the beginning of last month. And they've been going on for the last 7 or 8 weeks, right? They've turned violent. Four people have died. They've had to send in riot police from mainland France. That's the first time that's happened since 1959, I think it was, when there was a mini rising in the country. So you can see how serious the situation has got. So in order to placate the mob, shall we say, the French prefect there in Martinique, Jean-Christophe Bouvier, has announced that he's made a deal with importers and distributors, which he says will mean that 20% of the cost, an average cost, will go down on 6,000 products.
Okay, now, is the fact that the higher costs, is this due just due solely to the transport costs, or are there any other factors involved?
It's a good question. There are two main reasons, right? There's an old import tax of 9% that's been there since the 17th century, which they probably should consider getting rid of. And then there's a lot of intermediaries and the transport, of course. I'd say the intermediaries is probably the big thing, you know, the exporter in France, the importer in Martinique, and everybody's getting their cut, and you'd wonder how well the system works as well. So anyway, it's the man and woman on the street who are suffering as a result. And so they're bringing this deal in. Now, not everybody is happy about it. So the people who are running these particular protests, the leaders of the protests, are saying that it needs to be more, and there needs to be more products than the 6,000 that are covered.
Right, Australia we're going to go to next, the Northern Territory specifically, and they're going to resume putting 10-year-olds in prison.
Yeah, it's a reversal of a policy from the last local government. So this is in the Northern Territory, as you said, in Australia. And they actually became the first jurisdiction to lift the threshold from 10 to 12. That was last year, but there was a new government that was voted in called the Country Liberal Party. I always love it when liberal parties do things like this. I wonder what their interpretation of liberal is. But anyway, they have decided to reverse the measure from 12 back down to 10. And they're saying they're doing this to reduce youth crime rates, right? Specifically in Alice Springs, where they've been having a lot of trouble with youth crime lately, to such an extent, in fact, that it was in July of this year that they brought in a curfew for people over a certain age, weren't allowed onto the streets after 6 p.m. and until after 6 a.m. the next morning. So they obviously have a big problem with it. And this new party in local government has decided, right, 10-year-olds can go to jail now.
Mm. And does that also involve changing the law in terms of the age of criminal responsibility and that kind of thing?
Well, that's what they're doing. That is what they're doing. So obviously in this case, it's down to each state or territories, they call them territories in Australia, do they, or whatever it is. We both know what we mean.
Yes.
to decide what that is. So there are other territories. For example, the Australian Capital Territory has raised the age up to 12, I think, and Victoria has passed legislation to do the same. Tasmania is saying they're going to bring it up to 14 by 2029. So there was momentum to bring the age up. But these guys are now going against the grain because they're saying, you know, there's a problem and this will solve it. Now, if I was to ask you which ethnic group is going to suffer from this the most, would you be able to take a guess?
No, I see. Yeah. Right.
So this particular territory has 11 times higher prison rate amongst children than any other jurisdiction in Australia. 30% of its population is Aboriginal. Mm. And the vast majority of the children in prison are of Aboriginal background.
Yeah, and this is regular prison they're sending them to.
I wouldn't think so, Sean, to be honest. Yeah. I don't know for sure, but I wouldn't think so. I would say this is specifically for children.
Yeah. Are there any other moves for any other parts of Australia to do something similar?
Yeah, as I mentioned, they're not going to bring the ages down. The momentum seems to be to bring the ages up at this stage. So as I mentioned there, Tasmania is going to bring it up to 14 in 2029. And as I said, Victoria passed legislation to bring the ages up. So it's going the other way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. The Netherlands we're going to go to next. Sending migrants to other countries seems to be all the rage at the moment across Europe. So where is the Netherlands thinking of sending people?
Yeah. So I know we spoke about this in terms of Italy last week and their deal with Albania. So I just thought, I don't necessarily want to go on about the same thing, but I just thought there's a bit of this going on across Europe, and the Netherlands are now considering it. Now, it's hardly surprising given that Geert Wilders and the PVV got the most amount of votes in the recent election there. So during a visit last week to Uganda, the Dutch Minister for Trade and Development, Renate Klaver, made an announcement basically saying that she had spoken to authorities in Uganda about the possibility of sending people who had been rejected, who had their asylum applications rejected, and they were from Uganda and surrounding areas, the possibility was that they were going to send them back to Uganda. Now, in response, Geert Wilders said, this is a great idea. They've said that they're discussing this in cabinet, although there are three other parties in the, as always, in these Dutch coalitions. They love them there. who mightn't be as in favour of it. But the response from Uganda has been, the foreign affairs minister said that the country was willing to contemplate the possibility of it happening. And of course, they would get money in return.
Yeah, but a lot of these people then would have been Ugandan citizens anyway.
This is what they're saying. I think the thing that stands out to me is the fact that these are Ugandans who have had their asylum applications rejected and people from surrounding countries.
Mm.
But those surrounding countries have not been named as of yet.
Right,
so,
okay.
You know, that could be surrounding countries. You know, Uganda has a lot of countries around it.
Yes.
So it remains to be seen what will happen. But there seems to be bit of a policy direction change
across,
here.
Yeah, the EU, yeah, indeed. Yeah. Right, finally, China, Shanghai specifically, we're going to go to. They're not big fans of Halloween.
No, the authorities aren't anyway. Many people in the general population seem to be because last year they had quite a successful gathering, shall we say, in Shanghai, where lots of people, you know, went out, many of them just as ghosts and goblins and whatever you're having yourself. But there were others who dressed up in white hazmat suits and were going around wielding coronavirus testing swabs and, you know, dispensing hand sanitizers to pass it by. So they were having a dig at the lockdown that happened in China, and the authorities weren't particularly happy about it. So this year, a statement was actually leaked. Okay, so I don't know what the chief authority was in this case, but basically they put out a notification to the police saying that all cosplaying is prohibited and no Halloween makeup will be permitted. They will use first verbal persuasion, but compulsory measures must be used in the event of non-cooperation, which presumably means people will be arrested as well. There's another strand to it as well, which I find quite amusing, is that people last year, a lot of people went out in Winnie the Pooh costumes. Now, apparently, Winnie the Pooh resembles Xi Jinping. And you might remember a couple of years ago, they actually banned Winnie the Pooh, the film, from entering China because there was this whole trend of taking the mickey out of him, basically, online. So they're not happy about that either. So Winnie the Pooh and hazmat suits, don't dress up in them if you're going to Shanghai.
Indeed. What should we look out for over the coming week?
Yeah, good few things, obviously. Parliamentary elections in Georgia are taking place on Friday. Be important, particularly off the back of what happened in Moldova earlier this week. Mm. That pro-EU campaign just about won. There's a snap election in Japan on Sunday as well. And then, of course, the clocks go back this Sunday, Sean.
Indeed, yes. We all get another night's sleep. Or another hour sleep. Or do we? Jonathan, thanks a million.
Thanks,
as
Joe.
Ever. Jonathan de Burke, a bottle there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.